one.
Wait, John.
Welcome, guests, everyone that's here today to be a part of the Day of Trumpets. Truly appreciate you being here. Thank you also on behalf of the United Church of God for your offering today. We thank you for your generosity. We thank you for also the selection Mr. Hooser had of all the songs today. I was thinking through my sermon as he was selecting each one and how well they pertain to that. Fantastic, fantastic. Well, today is the Feast of Trumpets. It is the first day of the seventh month in God's calendar, and it is the only holy day to fall on a new moon. I was thinking about that when I was studying. The only day to fall on a new moon. Because of this, only a small sliver of the sun's reflection from off of the moon can be seen. In fact, last night, you wouldn't have been able to see it. Maybe tonight, if it's clear, you possibly could with a telescope or binoculars. Last night was the molad, or the birth of the seventh month. It is the point just before the beginning of the new moon. And so we have today. God is able to identify that and help us to identify it. And so it is no doubt that during this holy day, the light is the darkest in the sky. Because of that, when the Day of Trumpets is fulfilled before the return of Jesus Christ, it will be the darkest time in humanity, for humanity. So there is quite an analogy between the two occurrences, the actual physical occurrence that happens, and also what is going to be happening in the literal fulfillment on the Day of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is a very significant day in showing God's people how he is going to deal with evil on this earth. In fact, this is basically the SPS of the sermon. How God is going to deal with evil on this earth. Numerous times during the length of time on this earth, God has had to intervene and stop evil. And what is evil? It's wrong, wicked. It means to not please, and we know it to be sin. So the Feast of Trumpets is not the first time that God, the Father, and the Word have had to deal with stopping sin on this earth. They've had to slow it down and cause a regroup. We know that things could have been more successful out of the Garden of Eden if Adam and Eve would have followed God, not taken of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so God had to deal with evil there at the garden in paradise. And when we look forward from there at the time of the flood, and I'll just quote from Genesis 6 and verse 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually." We are getting to that point in society even right now. So this was quite a deviation from the good and very good that was created in Genesis 1. The punishment by God caused the flood. God stopped or set back the progression of evil right there. That was just one of the many times he's had to intervene in society, in this world. It was a time of great darkness on the earth, great spiritual darkness, man continually thinking evil. The Day of Trumpets signifies the stopping of evil by God's intervention. I'll repeat that again. Let's look at the Holy Days outline that we see that God has provided in Leviticus 23 and verse 23. And of course, we're going to focus on the Day of Trumpets here. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The seventh month, in the first day of the month," and we know that is today, "you shall have a Sabbath," exactly what we're having here today, "a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein." We're not out earning an income, working hard today. We're here doing as God has commanded. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Yes, we have made that offering as God has commanded. This day is a memorial of future events that are going to happen. We have organized, put together here, our Holy Day convocation today to celebrate a time in the future, where God will triumph over evil. Throughout each and every one of the hymns that we've sung today, even in our special music with the children's choir, thank you for the children's choir and Mikola for putting that together. We enjoyed it immensely. But during that time, we find on the Day of Trumpets, there are trumpets that are sounded, and I think I've always focused on just one aspect of the trumpets. I want to show that there is another meaning in the trumpets that are blown. Yes, we have the shofar that are blown, and there are four different sounds that come from the shofar, but also there's another trumpet that's involved in this. I'll go to Numbers 10 and verse 1 if you follow along with me. I enjoyed Mr. Mapes reading this verse that we'll see here later, but if we back up here to verse 1, Numbers 10 and verse 1, there's something that hadn't caught my eye before. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, make you two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt you make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, bringing people together, and for the journeying of the camps where they moved on. We'll go down to verse 9 now. How can we apply this here? And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God. God is going to take note of that and listen to that. And what will happen? You will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. A promise of victory in war. We heard about the Battle of Gettysburg, and they were wondering who was going to win. And of course, someone lost. But here is a promise of victory in war. Going on to verse 10. Also, in the day of your gladness. So these trumpets actually enter into the Day of Trumpets also. A day of gladness. And in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, which, yes, this is the beginning of this month, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial, something we remember. We think about that. We rehearse it. We go over it before your God. I am the Lord your God. So the Day of Trumpets is dual in its meaning and fulfillment. It will be a horrible last battle. A last battle over evil. Actually, we will have a resurgence after the end of the millennium. But for this time and age right now, it will be a horrible last battle over evil. But it will be a battle that we already know will be victorious. God tells us he will be victorious. The outcome, if you will, is guaranteed. Guaranteed success. And after victory in a battle, a time of great rejoicing will occur. No doubt, the winners in a battle, after it's all finished, there's relief, there's joy, there's excitement that it's done and their cause has been won. Let's go on to Joshua 6 and verse 2. We're going to look at a little bit of the fall of Jericho in Joshua's time. We'll see here what we find here, if there's any joy that is mentioned here in what happened. We're going to start in Joshua 6 and verse 2. I'll read here. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho, a promise of victory. Yes, they had to follow certain procedures, what to do, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Let's drop down here to verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet. Both are inclusive here, aren't they? Those silver trumpets and also the shofar. All the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. I looked up this word shout, and it does mean joy. Joy, gladness. It's that Hebrew word ruah, a great shout of joy. So with God helping Joshua, the victory was guaranteed. Trumpets were blown after circling Jericho seven times, and at the end of the trumpet blast, people were to shout with a great shout, and the walls of it fell down. That shout was one of joy, I believe. The great shout is of more joy added on to this, more gladness for what had transpired, that God had been with them and they had been victorious as they entered into the promised land. This day of trumpets signifies Jesus' return to this earth on the seventh trumpet. It signifies great gladness or joy in the fact that the saints are to be resurrected on that seventh trump. We sang about that in the hymns. It was great, wasn't it, to hear of the triumph, the glory that will happen, the reward that is ahead for us. We see in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54, if you will turn there with me, it is the resurrection chapter, and we can see that there is some glory, some joy, some gladness to be seen in this day. You know, we don't just live this life when we die and everything is ended, but we see here, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory. Just like the victory that was there at Jericho. Even more so, I think we could say. Great victory. The victory is one of joy and gladness. Now, in talking about the resurrection, and it is a part of the seven trumpets, we see that in the resurrection is first mentioned here in Revelation 11 and verse 15. We're so thankful to have the book of Revelation. We know that prior to the book of Revelation, we heard about it being the last trump, but how many are there? By the divine revelation that God gives to John, here we see that there are seven trumps that are going to occur. We see here in Revelation 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Not a temporary reigning, but forever. Ever and ever. Great gladness is in this message of the seventh trump. But what is the response of the rest of the world? Let's look here in verse 18. Verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. And the time of the nations, it should be, that word there should be nations, not the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto your servants, the prophets and the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Great joy is in God's people at the time of Jesus Christ returning, resurrecting the saints. But the response, on the other hand, is a world that will be angry, will not be happy with Jesus Christ coming to this earth. This day signifies great joy and also a battle that will show God's vengeance on those that are evil. God can only put up with so much. There comes a time where enough is enough. and things cannot proceed any further. There is a time to be glad, and there is a time to make war. The Day of Trumpets has both ingredients. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that there is a time to be glad, a time to make war. So the Day of Trumpets has both of these ingredients, both of them. The final battle will be an important step in stopping evil. It has to happen. It has to occur. At the time of the seventh trump, there are no indicators of anyone in this earth who are left to repent. In fact, the world is angry, and those that respond seem to be those that are familiar with the truth, and some have to give up their lives to repent and be part of the resurrection. None repent, but are angry with all that is going on in the events. You're going to disturb what I've got going on here on this earth. This day signifies that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the Word and is going to return. He has promised it, just like he's promised to win battles in the past and with Joshua at Jericho. He has promised to win this battle. A guarantee. I put my money on Jesus Christ if I was a betting man in this. So he's promised it, and it is a guarantee that God's kingdom is coming to this earth. Jesus' second return will be one of gladness, first of all, in the fact that the elect have been resurrected and changed into a spirit body. After this is accomplished, Jesus, the angels, and the resurrected saints are going to be part of proclaiming a day of vengeance. Jesus is going to make that proclamation. He is going to state it. He has been assigned to make that proclamation to this earth. Let's look here. Zephaniah 1 and verse 14, as we'll see how this is going to occur. I think Jesus Christ is anxiously waiting to come back and take over the reign and rule and to stop the evil that is going on this earth. Zephaniah 1 and verse 14. It tells us here as we start to read these verses, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastes greatly. Even the voice, or we may say the proclamation of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry bitterly. They're not going to be happy, but Jesus Christ is going to proclaim this day of the Lord. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And it sounds kind of negative, but this is what is going to have to be applied to this earth to turn things around. There's no elected officials we can see that will turn things around to direct us towards God. None anymore. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers, and I will bring distress upon men that they should walk like blind men, not knowing where to go because of all that's transpiring, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Jesus, the Word, is proclaiming ahead of time what he is going to do to the nations that have become evil beyond repentance at this time. You know, at the time of the flood, God saw that their mind was evil continually. There was no turning around of repentance. This is also the case that we are going to have just before this day of the Lord. Joel makes mention of the day of the Lord throughout it. I won't take the time to turn there, but the day of the Lord, the time of God's vengeance, is 1 year in length. You'll find this in numerous situations. 1 year in length. It begins on the first trumpet and is also inclusive of those seven bowl plagues that follow the seventh trumpet. They're actually a part of the seventh trumpet, but from that time that the resurrection happens, there's actually seven bowl plagues that follow. The day of the Lord is necessary. necessary. You know, Jesus Christ isn't going to come down to this earth and try to talk to people, convince them, be nice. Let's have a group meeting together to convince them. He knows what it takes to turn this world around. And it is going to have to be by the power that he possesses, and he knows exactly what to do to turn this around. The day of the Lord is necessary because of the evil that is so entrenched in this world today. Evil has penetrated into the mind of many of mankind so deeply that they are not able to repent and change at this time. You listen to today's news, and you listen to what decisions are made in our judicial system, and you can't even imagine how can they make a decision that is so wrong, twisted and deceived in their thoughts to follow what is right. So the word is going to summon mankind to Jerusalem for a final meeting. They will be brought there where he can take care of this and bring an end to this. He will not be silent and is going to judge the nations who are wicked and evil. Evil is going to be stopped. This is one thing that I want to emphasize. God is going to stop evil. This day of trumpets is significant in it. We saw back in Revelation 11, verse 18, that I previously read, where the nations will be judged, they will be stopped. So where around Jerusalem will this summoning be? Let's look here in Revelation 16 and verse 14. Revelation 16 and verse 14. For we see that spirits have entered into various places there, some from the devil, the false prophet, coming in to work these miracles, and we're picking up the pace here right in Revelation 16 and verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world. Satan the devil will ramp up in his power to try to stop this as he's cast back to this earth. As we continue on in verse 14, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. You know, God wants us to be brought to a culmination there. And sure enough, Satan the devil is going to suck in these armies to make this attempt. Verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments. You know, something that points to us. Watch how we live, keep your garments clean, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they are gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew Armageddon. Kind of a misnomer there is actually the gathering. The beast power leaves from Jerusalem to go up to Megiddo while these other armies come across the Euphrates to meet at this area where Megiddo is happening. But that isn't where the battle happens. The final battle is described also in the following verses. Joel 3 and verse 11, if you'll follow along with me here, it gives a very definitive area of where this final battle is. Not only will they merge together up there at Megiddo, but then they will turn around to come down to Jerusalem. We'll see here in Joel 3 and verse 11. Assemble yourselves. Come, you heathen. Gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause their mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, basically the Kidron Valley. After they've gathered there at Megiddo, they will come down to this area of the Kidron Valley. For there I will sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, and their wickedness is great. Nothing to glean out of this for use in God's kingdom. It has to be removed out of the way. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Let's look here also in Zephaniah 3 and verse 8. We'll just confirm this a little bit more. God is going to have to apply force through the word to come here to turn this around, to stop things so we can prepare for the millennium. Zephaniah 3 and verse 8. Therefore wait upon me, says the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, gather them at Megiddo, north of Jerusalem, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. The final battle to stop evil will be at the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It is also known as the Kidron Valley, as I mentioned, outside of Jerusalem. Let's go forward here a little bit. All of this is happening because mankind does not fear God. Does not fear God. Does not worry about transgressing the commandments or any aspect of what God outlines as how man should live. The fear of God is the beginning of understanding. We know this, don't we? In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, I won't take the time to read there, but we know the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. God is going to instill fear in mankind. Maybe some of the first thoughts of those who are brought up in the Great White Throne Judgment period will be, whoa, what happened on that great day of battle? I was here and then gone. Fear will be put into the people on this earth. We find here in Proverbs 16 and verse 6, if you'll follow along with me, and we're going to see that mankind has come to a point to understand and have fear when God intervenes. People will depart from evil when they fear the Lord. Those that are left in the millennium, what do you think is going to be etched upon their mind? There's so few of us left. And God intervenes so strongly, there will be a fear in them. Notice of those that depart from evil. Proverbs 16 and verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Yes, that can happen. You come to the understanding of the truth and you follow it. You ask for forgiveness. You repent. That iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Jesus Christ, the Word, the Lord, is going to instill that upon these people. When the day of the Lord is completed and the day of trumpets is fulfilled, nations will fear the authority and power of the Lord. The result will be something that we see here in Psalms 102, verse 13. And let's look here. Psalms 102, verse 13. God knows the force that needs to be applied to bring fear to the Lord. He knows what needs to be done. Psalms 102 and verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come for your servants. Take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen, and this is the most important part of this, so the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all of the kings of the earth will see your glory. The events of the day of the Lord will produce this in the people in the millennium. Probably be first and foremost in their thoughts. Hopefully it will carry over to those who are brought up in the Great White Throne Judgment period, those that were part of that final battle, final rebellion, wanted to discount that there is a God and that he is going to have a kingdom. Brother, we are closer to the day of the Lord than ever before. Closer. We are told in God's word of what is to come in the future. He's given us a glimpse of that so we can be on fire tuned into what we need to do so that we aren't part of that final battle. It is a blessing to those who will take heed and a curse to those who refuse God's word. They will not be obedient to his commands. The book of Revelation starts out, if you'll follow along with me, in Revelation 1 and verse 1, so important to us in God's church. He's given us a glimpse of what is going to happen as we watch events. Yes, we must be overcoming ourselves, but he is giving us a glimpse of what is going to occur in Revelation 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show to his servants, those that follow him, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, a promise of what is going to occur, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads. As you read what is going to happen on this day of trumpets, when it's fulfilled in totality, we are blessed to understand and see. And they that hear the words of this prophecy, and more importantly, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We have seen in God's word what is at hand, what is going to occur. The day of trumpets signifies the ending of evil on this earth, stopping it in its tracks. This day starts on the first trumpet. We see this back in Revelation 6 and verse 17. Let's look back here. We actually, Revelation 6 and verse 17, we'll see some more about the day of trumpets. When it occurs, Revelation 6, verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? The sixth seal is ending, and the first trumpet is about to begin here, which starts the day of the Lord. It is a time in which God's wrath needs to be applied to the people of this earth, lest all be destroyed, that we see in Matthew 24. If mankind continued on, he would destroy everything on this earth. I will state this, brethren, the day of the Lord is not a 24-hour period of time. The seven trumpets cannot be fulfilled in one day. They cannot be fulfilled in 24 hours. Yes, we are talking about all of them within this day, and it's appropriate that we do. Here's a key verse to remember as a proof that the day of the Lord lasts more than 24 hours. We'll find this in Isaiah 34 and verse 8. All that is going to be accomplished on the day of the Lord takes more than one day. Isaiah 34 and verse 8 gives a proof of this, and it states here, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance." How long is this? "The year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion." Let's look at another proof that the day of the Lord, all of these trumpets last more. All right, I'll back up here. Let's see that the day of the Lord is more than one day, that it lasts the year. We're going to see this in Revelation 9 and verse 1. We're going to focus on the fifth trumpet. Fifth trumpet, how long is it? We'll see in these verses that we're going to read that it is longer than one day. And so the day of the Lord has to be longer than one day. Revelation 9, verse 1, "And the fifth angel sounded," it's the fifth trumpet, "and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." figurative speech that is here in Revelation, going on to verse 4. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, that means those that have the seal of God, but that they should be tormented 5 months. The fifth trumpet is 5 months long. Here is the fifth trumpet, 5 months in length. With this in mind, we can know that we are at least 5 months away from the first trumpet. The Lord is coming to intervene in the affairs of mankind at the end of the seventh trumpet. He is going to stop evil. When he does this, he is going to reign and rule in truth, which has not been found in the earth prior to his return. Mankind has come up with all kinds of governments, all kinds of ways. It's not worked. We need the kingdom of God. We need Jesus Christ leading this earth. The gospel message has been preached throughout the entirety of the Bible. The gospel will be preached in all of the world. We continue to do that. Your offerings, your tithes help do that. And then there will come a time where the end will come. We preach a gospel message about the coming kingdom of God. It is the same message that Jesus preached and also what his apostles preached after him. It is the same message that is even in the Old Testament, if you look very closely. This message teaches mankind to repent and be saved. Be saved for the kingdom of God, to change and overcome. We must repent. You must want to be saved and believe the gospel message. You must believe the gospel that reconciles mankind to God. The Day of Trumpets is a day of great power, unleashed on this earth to stop the evil that has gone out of control. We sometimes hear on the news, well, we're getting close to the edge where there's probably no place to turn around. I think we're over the edge, brethren. I don't know if this is ever going to turn around until Jesus Christ returns. Let's look here in Revelation 19 and verse 11. We see here the word is preparing for the battle at that place of the Kidron Valley, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, one and the same. Revelation 19 and verse 11, look how he's preparing to win this battle. He has promised to win this battle. God has fortified behind him to make sure that he is going to win this battle. Revelation 19 and verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Who else could we say that would be but Jesus Christ? The Word, the Lord, is going to be here. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire. Not too docile and passive here, is he? His eyes are a flame of fire. It's not a time to sit down and let's just see if we can talk about this and work it out and have a discussion. It's a time of war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, not normal, not like your normal battle vesture. It has been dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. He has left heaven. He is coming back to this earth to make sure that this is going to be won. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. All of those titles that are on the kings that are on this earth mean nothing Jesus Christ has taken this to himself. And after this battle, Satan will be bound, and we will see these final events of the day of the Lord. Let's go back here to Zechariah 14 and verse 1. As this battle ends, what happens after this? We'll look at some events. It'll rehearse all of what some of what we've read. We see here in Zechariah 14 and verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Yes, that Kidron Valley next to Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. A horrific time. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. We'll go on to verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. After this battle is finished, he has been valiant. He has had victory. He has had success. It won't be easy, but he will be successful and he will win. So when this is all completed in the day of the Lord, we will see a world in great destruction and ruin because of evil. Evil will be stopped. God has applied his power to stop evil. This day represents a time for stopping evil. Stopping it. But also in the midst of the day of the Lord, on the seventh trumpet, a great rejoicing will have been completed, the resurrection of the saints. Not only will the battle be joyful, but the resurrection of the saints will be joy on that day. Today is a memorial of these events that will be fulfilled, and God will, he will carry out his plan in success. It is guaranteed. He has determined it, and it will happen. The Day of Trumpets is how God reveals that being done. And after this has occurred, we're going to see something here in Revelation 15 and verse 1. What's the result? We read about some of the rejoicing, the joy, and the gladness that are to be in God's people, probably in the angels too, and in Jesus Christ, the Word, and God the Father. What a time of great rejoicing. The battle has been won. The resurrected saints, the elect, have been given a perfect body. And we'll see here in Revelation 15 and verse 1. What is the mindset here that we see in Revelation 15 and verse 1? And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath. They are the end of the trumpet plagues to happen, or the end of the bowl plague, excuse me. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. Victory, success, joy that will happen. And over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And what is their attitude in mind? They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty." Wow. For each and every one of us to be a part of that, and think about us being a part of that, we can say that today, great and marvelous are your works, your plan of salvation, to be a part of that. Lord God Almighty, just and true are your words. What you said is going to happen. Thou King of Saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify your name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, and for thy judgments are made manifest. Won't it be wonderful, brethren, as we get into the millennium and see all nations, all peoples come to worship the Word. So the Day of Trumpets is a day of great rejoicing, victory in battle, resurrection of the elect, but is also a time of stopping evil. And this is how God is going to do it, just in the verses that we have read. He's given us this outline for you to understand and see. He is going to be successful, and he's asked us to review this time to know what his plans are, what he's going to carry out, and he will not fail, nor will the Word fail in accomplishing this on this earth.